6:06 on the Central Coast. It is Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. Good evening. I'm Dave Congleton. Always good to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, I've invited my insurance agent, Sherry Robichaudi. I've been with Sherry. Oh, dear. I've been with her almost 30 years. A lot to talk about in the insurance world these days. On Friday, we've got people from the Hourglass Project coming in. This is this new project that was announced last week. Local business and tourism leaders coming together to try to figure out how to get more business, more tourism on the Central Coast. Next week, George Peterson talks about Central Coast Brewing. And Joe Brittingham gives us his take on what's happening with the stock market and whether or not we should be concerned. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Here's an article from The Hill, thehill.com. Apple CEO Tim Cook on Monday says he believes it is right and moral for technology companies to block hate speech and violent conspiracy theories from their platforms. Quote, "At Apple, we believe that technology needs to have a clear point of view on this challenge," Cook said at an Anti-Defamation League conference on Monday afternoon. It was at the conference that Cook accepted the ADL's first Courage Against Hate Award, geared towards private sector leaders dedicated to fighting bigotry. He was also the conference keynote speaker. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. His website is hoystory.com, and he found this article intriguing. Matt, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
So what do you think about Tim Cook and what he said?
Well, I on the surface, it sounds good.
Yeah.
In practice, this, along with a lot of other things that have been going on with Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, worries me a bit.
Are you suggesting the liberals say one thing and do another?
I'm suggesting that lots of people say one thing and do another.
All right.
I don't think that's a liberal or conservative thing. I think that's a human thing.
Okay.
My concerns with this are there's a couple different tacks on this. The first one is, he talks about tech companies having this moral obligation to, take sides, which is fine. But at the same time, these, tech companies and even a lot of the mainstream media come down on other businesses not having those same sorts of moral positions or not being allowed to take those moral positions. Cases in point would be the Masterpiece Cake Shop case out of Colorado that was heard by the Supreme Court last term. The Supreme Court kind of punted on that. It's going to become back before the Supreme Court again because Colorado's doing the same dang thing against him again. For those who don't know, the Masterpiece Cake Shop is he had refused to make a custom cake for a gay wedding. And the Colorado State Commission on Civil Rights basically wanted to put him out of business for doing that, even though it's not like he's the only cake maker in Colorado. Got all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled on it and basically said that there was an anti-religious animus at the Colorado Commission on Civil Rights that basically negated their position.
But is this a fair comparison to compare a baker who refuses to bake or sell a cake to a gay couple to, I don't know, Alex Jones going on Twitter and doing his thing?
Well, no, I'm not comparing Masterpiece to Alex Jones. I'm comparing Masterpiece to Apple.
All right.
And Apple is saying, hey, we don't want Alex Jones's InfoWars app on our
app
store.
My point, I think, is still... Okay, go ahead.
The company's making a moral decision. And either that's okay to make a moral decision for everybody, or it's not for everybody. The idea that somehow a small, one-man sole proprietorship cake shop in Colorado somehow has less of a moral authority on what sorts of business they want to do than that's owned by a single person than a huge company that has, hundreds of thousands or millions of stockholders of diverse views,
right,
that you know that that somehow that there are different. So that's one thing that
But let's stay with that for a minute. The baker, it's his personal viewpoint. Just his personal viewpoint.
Right.
Whereas Apple, again, I go back to Alex Jones. To me, it's like a community standard. You know, what is the community standard in this case? Most people would be appalled by what Alex Jones says.
Oh, I'm appalled by what Alex Jones says.
We don't want him on our... Right.
Well, again, if they've got and if you think Apple has the right to kick Alex Jones off their platform,
I do.
Then you should be okay with Masterpiece Cake Shop saying, "Look, I don't want to bake a gay wedding cake or a Halloween cake." He doesn't do Halloween cakes.
Yeah, I should be, but I'm not. I just don't like discrimination against gays.
Well,
but I take your point.
Well, and the other thing with the Masterpiece Cake Shop was it wasn't that he wasn't refusing to serve gays. If they wanted to buy anything out of his case, he'd sold it to them.
But he didn't want to make it.
He didn't want to make something custom.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
I love the conversation. I love this.
So that's one part of this that bothers me a little bit. The other part of it that bothers me is there are a lot of, you know, the big four, I think, right now, well, big three as far as social media go, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And, you know, YouTube's owned by Google, too.
Right.
They are shutting down people, frankly, left and right, who don't hold to kind of the standard liberal view of the day. Case in point on Twitter was a Canadian feminist. Let me see if I can find her name here. Canadian feminist out of, I think, British Columbia. I think her name was Meghan Markle or something like that. Was banned from Twitter because, and I guarantee you, I probably don't agree with her on 99.9% of whatever she says.
Fair enough.
She got mad at a trans woman who was kind of basically trying to open up women's shelters to trans women. Now, again, trans women are, some of them are biologically male.
Right.
And she said, look, men are not women. Twitter banned her for hate speech for that.
That's exactly what she said?
Yes.
Men are not women?
Men are not women.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't agree with their banning her if that's all she said.
Well, it gets into one of Twitter's new terms of service thing is they will ban you if you don't identify someone by their preferred gender. So again, a trans woman, if you say that's a man, well, that'll get you banned. If you use what's called dead naming now.
Dead naming.
Dead naming. So, for instance, if you were to call Caitlyn Jenner Bruce.
Oh, I see.
Okay. That name is, or Bradley, dead. If you were to call Chelsea Manning Bradley.
Right.
That's dead naming, and that will get you booted from their platform as well.
In some ways, it's kind of like the discussion we had at 4:05 over the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Which got stuck in my head as I was driving down here.
I'm sorry. But, I mean, you know, some people are offended by it, so radio stations are pulling the song. Here you have an example. Someone's offended by this woman's Twitter comment,
right,
and it's yanked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you can almost predict what'll get you yanked.
So are we becoming overly sensitive?
Oh my gosh, yes. I will tell you, the best thing I have seen in the past month on any media was the SNL episode with the veteran who's lost an eye in an IED attack.
Oh yeah, yeah. When he came into the news desk, that was very good.
That is the best thing because he's saying, look, you know, here's this comedian who made fun of me out of ignorance, and it was silly and it was stupid, and the worst thing about that was it wasn't really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't, you know, hey, this is an opportunity to, you know, reflect. Let's talk it over. Let's be respectful of each other. And, you know, don't get, you know, crazy and call for people to get fired or whatnot because you're offended by, you know, a lame joke. You know, let's not be offended by everything. And again, that goes back to that song, which is, again, still stuck in my head.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. I'm loving this conversation. We'll include you when we come back. Stick around. This is AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Champagne. 620 on News Talk 920 KVEC. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Matt Hoy is my guest. His blog is hoystory.com. Check it out. We're talking about high-tech companies, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, or whatever you got these days. And Matt is concerned that this new generation of high-tech executives are too quick to edit or censor or punish people for expressing viewpoints. Is that a fair encapsulation?
That's certainly part of it, and I'm worried about it as it is, and I'm worried about, you know, where it's going.
And where do you think it's going?
Well, you know, I don't like Alex Jones.
I
never listened to him. I think his Sandy Hook truthering is despicable, and I think when he goes out in public, he should probably be derided, and, you know, if you get enough people around him, he should probably be tarred and feathered and run out of town on a rail. Having said that, I worry with, you know, they cancel his Twitter account, they cancel his YouTube account. So, okay, so he can't post those, you know, he can't use those forms, he can't post those places. Okay. But if you get to the point where you want to silence him altogether, you know, do you go after his domain name registrar? So he can't have, you know, Alex Jones. I don't even know what his site is, alexjones.com or whatever it is. So he can't have that. Do you go after the company that hosts his servers? I worry that we're going down this road where, and it starts with Alex Jones, and he's, you know, the odious outside, very far fringe. I'm worried that it works its way to stuff that's not popular but is also not fringe.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. Alex Jones, I think most people would agree, has crossed the line. We don't lose any sleep if we don't hear his voice. But he's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with the one who, like you pointed out, made a comment about transgender
right
on Twitter? Well, that's more of a gray area to me.
Yeah, and, you know, you get, again, some of it, I want to think, and lots of companies do this, and every time I see it, it's you want to, you know, slap an executive across the face and say, look, you don't put a 24-year-old recent college graduate in charge of your social media without some oversight from someone who's been around the block a few times. Mm-hmm. You get cases where there was a Republican running here in California. She probably lost. I didn't look it up to see whether she lost. I'm sure she probably lost. It's California. It was a Democrat year. Name was Elizabeth Heng. She, her parents are from Cambodia. They fled that genocide back in the 70s to bring her here. She's running for Congress. She creates a minute and a half, 2 minute long ad that starts out with, you know, the Cambodian genocide, and it's pictures from that. It's the skulls stacked up. It's, you know, the people fleeing.
Really?
And Facebook and Twitter both said, no, you can't do that. That's hateful. You can't run that ad. It was a positive ad. It was biographical. This is where I came from. This is why I love America. This is why I want to be your representative in Congress. And Twitter and Facebook looked at the first, you know, 15, 20 seconds of it, and now they reversed it after outcry.
Right.
But the initial, you know, a thing was, oh, no, this might disturb someone. This might trigger someone.
But, Matt, what's prompting it? Is it, I mean, what is it? Is it the way they're being raised? Is this new generation different? Pressure over possible lawsuits? Complaints
of
people?
Well, I don't think anybody's worried about lawsuits necessarily. I think that
she lost, by the way.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Not in this political climate. But I'd say it's a lot about the way we're, you know, raising our kids. And I get this. I substitute teach. I talk with teachers sometimes, and I talk with teachers a lot of the time. But you know, you get in discussions with teachers, fresh college students about, you know, hate speech. And too often, hate speech is simply speech I don't like. So your hate speech and my hate speech are two separate things. And my response to speech I don't like is my own speech and trying to, you know, battle it out in the realm of ideas. And let's talk about it. Let's try and influence people. Let's try and persuade people. It seems like a lot of people don't want to be persuaded. They want to be offended, and then they want to, you know, stick their fingers in their ears and la, 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 can't hear you.
Right. Now, I read this article today. It was pretty interesting. It's a young woman who, when, like, if you were to say something, and I my knee-jerk reaction, Matt, is to say, oh, I don't like what you're saying. Is it her fault or is it my fault? And we always assume the onus is on the person that's speaking. But maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not broad-minded enough. Maybe I don't understand the context enough. And who am I to keep someone from trying to speak?
One of these discussions I had with teachers regarding hate speech was this case down in L.A. where the teacher was suspended. He's probably going to be fired. African-American teacher, a student, basically got in his face and started calling him the N-word repeatedly.
He took the swing at him?
And he...
Yeah, I saw that.
He took the swing at him.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's a couple things. If they decide to prosecute the teacher for taking a swing at this kid, I strongly encourage the jury to render a not guilty verdict no matter what.
I agree.
You know, just nullify it. Secondly, the student learned a very good lesson. That is, you do that, you know, you call someone the N-word, the reaction is you're going to get your butt kicked. That is a real world, you know, let's take him out.
I saw the video, and I thought the teacher was pretty patient under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances.
And then he just kind of lost it.
And, you know, I don't advocate for teachers hitting students or for students hitting teachers, but this whole idea that, you know, that's hate speech, and so we need to ban it. Do I want to ban the student from saying that? Well, I want to educate him that he shouldn't be saying that, that it's offensive, that it's derogatory, that it does him absolutely no good in whatever he's trying to do other than potentially elicit a beatdown. But I don't want to silence a person for that. You get parents nowadays who still protest kids reading Huckleberry Finn because the N-word's in there. And I'm not, you know, hey, that's literature. That's what it was at the time.
What about the Charlie Hebdo newspaper in Paris, a listener asks? They write offensive materials on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a gun shooter. They still are on Apple, etc. So Alex Jones, to me, is a very small apple compared to what these people said in Paris.
That Charlie Hebdo magazine is it still running?
Yes.
Again, they were the victim of a terrorist attack, Muslim terrorist, who came in there, shot up, killed a bunch of them.
Well, let's come back to that.
The content's very offensive, but...
Yeah, let's come back to that. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. Here's the news, traffic, weather, your phone calls and text messages still to come. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you. Hi, Craig. Thank you. We're in conversation with the blogger Matt Hoy. Check out his work at hoystory.com, H-O-Y. Sean is calling from San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Sean.
Two quick points, and I'm getting off the phone. First one is, regarding InfoWars guy, you know,
Alex
his
Jones.
Sandy Hook claims of it never happening. It's a conspiracy theory kind of thing. I think that's a sick thing for him to say it didn't happen, and I also think it's sick for those that say that 9/11 didn't happen or that it was a government-run thing, all the conspiracy theories. I think that's a sicker thing than what the InfoWars gentleman did. Secondly, Wired Magazine has an article that came out this month talking about artificial intelligence, and it's biased because of the people working on the artificial intelligence that we will see and will become a part of our everyday life. And again, it's that five-year thing, Dave. Remember when we were talking about wireless cell phone service?
Right.
When 5G comes out, we're going to see artificial intelligence become much more a part of our life. You see it already in the self-driven cars. And what's happening is that Wired Magazine talks about the fact that the programmer itself and the way their psyche works and when they program, will be embedded in that artificial intelligence. Therefore, we'll be creating a self-thinking artificial intelligence with built-in biasness. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
You're going to have a woke Terminator.
I don't know if I agree with the conspiracy theory notion, though, because there are some conspiracy theories out there that are likely true. So how do you ban something just because someone, I don't know.
Yeah, it's what is it, the old Ben Franklin thing, it's easy for three people to keep a secret if two of them are dead or something
that.
You know, any conspiracy that requires a lot of moving parts and a lot of people to stay silent is more likely than not not true.
All right, so back on the Charlie
Hebdo
example in Paris, they wrote offensive materials on a daily basis, and they had a gun shooter come in. They're still on Apple apps, etc. So Alex Jones, to me, is a very small apple compared to what these people said.
I'm not sure about the reach of that magazine versus Alex Jones. I mean, they may be comparable as a percentage of, you know, on a per capita basis.
In Sandy Hook, it was an elementary school.
Right.
2014. 24, 25 people, most of them elementary school kids, mm-hmm. age 5 to 6, were shot and killed by a mass shooter.
Right.
Alex Jones on his show said that never happened.
Right.
And those are all actors.
Yeah. It's odious. Word that he says, well, it's a question of.
But you know, some people do.
Yes, people do. I got into a little internet comment war back and forth. The case of the two reporters that were shot on air a couple of years ago in South Carolina or something
Virginia.
The cameraman was shot and the woman reporter was shot live on air.
Yeah,
and that never happened. Why? Because the guy was Facebook living it as he did it. And for some reason, they said, "Well, you don't see the brass casing exiting the gun as the shots are going, so it's just a noisemaker." It's like, No, I'm sorry, those people are dead. That guy killed them. There's, what's the point? Yes, a reporter is willing to sacrifice their career and go underground and fake their death to get gun control.
They're hanging out with the people that were on the Pentagon plane on 9/11 that didn't die.
I've known enough television reporters to know that they are not sacrificing their careers for that.
Greg?
Yeah, Alex Jones and others like that just remind me of the National Enquirer. Where space aliens landed, government cover-up.
That's Weekly World News.
Yeah.
Now it's Weekly World. And now it's Star and all those other ones, and Enquirer's tried to go legit. But it reminds me of that, to where it's just so ridiculous, no one believes it. They kind of like the fantasy, the story, or they like, what outrageousness is going to be said, but nobody actually believes it.
Alex Jones has a big following, though.
But so did the Star or the Enquirer, but nobody actually believes space aliens living 3 inches beneath the Earth controlling people's minds.
And what's the most popular nighttime show in America? Coast to Coast. Believe me, there are people who believe that stuff. What else?
But they're allowed their craziness.
Well, are you defending Alex Jones?
What I'm saying is that I'm defending the freedom of speech, and should those crazy magazines not be allowed to be published? So should the Star or whatever those ones not be allowed to be made? Or is it a freedom of speech?
But their freedom of speech is not absolute.
Well, that's, yeah.
But their opinion.
That goes without saying. I mean, you can't incite people to violence. There's libel laws, so. You can't say anything you want without repercussions.
Right. But on Alex Jones isn't not covered under broadcast regulations? His TV show?
Well, wasn't it that streamed, or was that on cable?
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't on
broadcast.
It wasn't under the FCC.
Right. But Twitter has the right to ban him.
Yeah,
Facebook has the right to ban them.
Yeah, you know,
the thing is it's like we're, you know, what's that old line? You know, first they came for the, you know, the gypsies, and they came, and then there was no one.
I don't think they're ever going to come for Alex Jones.
No, well, they did. They deplatformed him. They got him off all these platforms.
And I'm perfectly
and
fine with
next?
That.
Well, the thing is, you know,
well, anybody who's next, anybody else who takes an incident like Sandy Hook and denigrates it like that, that's who's next.
Well, you've got,
and I'll be the first in line to call for it.
That's fine, but you've got people like Dennis Prager.
Oh,
radio
like.
Talk show host who
I
puts
like
out these little 4 or 5 minute, you know, educational videos featuring, you know, knowledgeable. He's got, you know, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, all sorts of people who are, you know, doing, you know, little kind of educational things. There's nothing offensive about these things whatsoever, and they put these videos, but they're conservative. They look at these topics from a conservative viewpoint, and YouTube goes and puts these videos behind the same kind of barrier that they put, you know, the raunchy stuff, the sexual content, that sort of stuff, you know, for adults only.
We're looking at free speech on the internet with Matt Hoy. If you want in on the conversation, please join us 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Now, why does YouTube single out Prager like that?
He's popular. He's conservative. You know, Prager went and sued him. Got tossed down a court for doing it to him, which I kind of agree with. I just wish YouTube wouldn't do it. I'm not for turning YouTube and Twitter and Facebook into kind of quasi-government utilities where, you know, the government says what they have to allow and what they don't.
Right. Let's talk to Scott on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hello, hey. Dave. Hello, Matt. You know, I actually agree with Craig said. But there was one thing I want to say something about positive about Alex Jones. Do you remember the gal, Michelle, the one that when Obama was rerunning and there was the Obama phone woman? Remember that woman?
Yeah.
She got all that publicity that you get a free phone. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Alex Jones, he brought her, he paid for her to go to the station and they talked about it. She got demonized over that whole thing, and he just undemonized her and made her feel like, you know, that she got things wrong. And, you know, she took things in perspective. She was out of work. She was out of a job, and she was insisting people to vote Democrat and all that. But it wasn't that he was trying to get her to switch parties. He was just trying to give her the limelight that maybe that she made a mistake about the Obama phone thing and all that. But it was just sort of a generous way of getting on the air and letting her sharing her side of the story.
And, of course, he had no agenda.
Well, he had no agenda. Yeah. But, you know, Dave, I don't always listen to Alex Jones myself. He's a little bit radical for me. But there are some things that some of my friends text me over. And they are not being on CNN, just little news things that should be national news that are actually on Alex Jones. And it's not just Alex Jones. It's some of the people that are on there that are under him that will share the show. And they are some of those people have degrees from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and they're on his show. They're part of his commentator audience. So
have you ever seen the John Oliver take on Alex Jones?
Yeah, I did. I actually like John Oliver. Yeah, so, yeah, he had his points of view, what he said about him, and some things I agree and some things I don't. But I don't think we should squash Alex Jones. He did apologize, and should he continue to apologize? He did go on George Norrie, and George Norrie did confront him over that Sandy Hook thing, and, you know, he did apologize on that as well. So should we continue to bash him?
Yep.
Should he be vindicated later for maybe good behavior?
Nope.
Dave, don't think so?
Nope. I have no use for the man.
That's too bad.
I'm sorry. Scott, why do you like him so much?
I don't like him that much, Dave. I like some of his point of views, but he is a little bit radical for me, as I said. There are just some things on his show that I get snippets of,
And you clearly still have access to his show. So those people who want Alex Jones, they can get him.
You know, there are people on YouTube that will clip his his video. He does he doesn't podcast anymore, but he streams his videos, and people take his videos and they link them into YouTube. And YouTube, give it a few days, and they'll take those subscribers out as well. Yeah. And so YouTube is all over it, make sure that he's not exposing anything, regardless if he's not doing it himself.
Matt, you want to jump in? Hang on, Scott.
Well, you know, I'm not willing to condemn a guy for forever for, something like that.
Let him rot in hell.
But
let him rot in hell.
Yeah, I can't do it. I also, again, he still has a website. He's still able to stream videos, whatnot. He doesn't, but you've got to go and seek him out. I worry that the next step is that won't be enough. The fact that he's not on YouTube isn't enough for people who hate his guts and want him silenced, that they go after his domain name registrar and they go after whoever's running the servers for him and distribute, the content distribution network that's running his stuff, and silence him that way.
Anything else, Scott?
You know what? And that might be a good thing, not for his, well, for his sake, because he can just sue and take that to the Supreme Court, and he'll be vindicated over that. So that would be a win-win for him.
You call me and let me know when that happens.
You have
Scott.
More faith in the Supreme Court than I do.
Yeah.
even with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on it.
I got to get this break in. Scott, thanks for the call. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. HoyStory.com is his website. We'll come back for a final segment on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News, and then we invite you tomorrow morning to start your weekday mornings off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9. Craig and I will be back on Thursday with at 3:05 with the Thursday edition of Hometown Radio. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's go to Bob and Los Osos on KVEC for Matt Hoy. Hi, Bob. Hi.
I just came in late, but I heard somebody mentioning the Prager University videos on YouTube, and I just encourage you guys to, if you're not familiar with them, just Google them sometime and watch a few of them. They're 5 minutes long. They're as benign as you could imagine, unless maybe you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, and you might disagree with them, but there they are. They're blocked from anywhere where there's a blocking mechanism, to keep out nasty stuff like libraries and I guess schools. And I really encourage you to just sample some of the things and see if you can figure out why they're blocked, because it is. That's all I had.
All right, Bob, thank you.
They aren't really blocked by the libraries or the schools. They're blocked because YouTube says they are adult content. So it's not necessarily the libraries or the schools that are doing it on their end. All they're doing is kind of respecting what YouTube has classified it as.
But yeah, and if you wanted the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. This is Reuters News Agency. Google has won the dismissal of a lawsuit in California accusing YouTube of censoring conservative content. The judge said a nonprofit run by conservative radio talk show host Dennis Prager failed to show that YouTube infringed its free speech rights by placing age restrictions on its content. The plaintiff, Prager University, said that YouTube's animus towards its political identity and viewpoint led it to curb access to videos. So it sounds like Google/YouTube was just saying you had to be a certain age to watch this stuff.
Right. This is not a trailer for a PG-13 movie. It's more benign than that. There's no cuss words involved in this. There's no. It shouldn't be. If you look at all the stuff that they put behind that kind of age restricted wall. One of these things is not like the other, and it's the PragerU videos that are not like anything else they put behind that wall.
The San Jose, California judge dismissed a claim that YouTube engaged in false advertising by implying that Prager's videos were inappropriate.
Again, this is trying to get the government involved in this. The Electronic Freedom Foundation, which I support generally, you know, what they do as far as speech and whatnot on the internet, filed an amicus brief basically against PragerU. I don't think the government – I don't want the government involved in doing this. I don't think they'd do a good job. I think they'd screw it up like they screw up most things.
But at the end of the day, Matt, don't all voices get heard? Maybe some not as loud as others. But well, Alex Jones has his people. Dennis Prager has his people. And Dave Congleton has his people.
But the thing is, if you want to grow your audience, these are tools that can do that. And – they are limiting who can use them based on political views, and they're not just singling out, you know, Alex Jones and his views. It's much more what would be considered kind of mainstream conservatism for a lot of it that's also getting singled out. And again, Alex Jones had a big following. He's probably still got a pretty big following, but you know, you and I may never have heard of someone who is trying to grow their audience, who's trying to become a big player, and with just their talent and what they want to say and their skill. If they don't have the backing of a multimillionaire philanthropist who's willing to kind of boost them up, they can't use those tools to get their voice heard.
But is Dennis Prager really going to be harmed by the fact that a couple high school kids can't watch his YouTube videos?
Well, it's not... The numbers that you can look them up online, but
this was
more than a few high school videos who weren't seeing his videos. These were, and that's the other thing, they do things called shadow banning, where he'd post a new video up, and if you're subscribed to the PragerU channel, so that you're supposed to get notified each time a new video comes up, they wouldn't notify you. Huh. You know, so you're seeking it out. But they're not telling you that something new is there.
I promise you a chance at the end to talk about what's happening at Joel's Stomping Grounds over at the Tribune.
Yeah, so the Tribune hired a new opinion editor to weigh in on California state-level topics at all the McClatchy newspapers. So Merced Sun-Star, Sacramento Bee, San Luis Obispo Tribune, Fresno Bee, Modesto Bee. So they've hired the guy, and he's going to kind of organize that. He is a former staffer for Dianne Feinstein and Jerry Brown. He's done their PR. So he's going to be in charge of state-level editorials, and he probably represents and probably will do a good job, you know, with the slow paper, the Sacramento Bee, the Merced paper, probably.
Right. And he's going to write statewide opinion?
That's what it sounds like. Right. It says they're still going to have the local ones. But the thing is you've got a guy who doesn't represent or probably doesn't know what the majority of the people in the Fresno and Modesto areas feel. Because those are rather conservative areas of this state. And you've hired a guy who's spent most of his career in high up in Democratic level politics. I can remember when I worked for the San Diego Union Tribune, we had a reporter there who all of a sudden was gone. And 2 weeks after he was gone, you saw a little note on the board that he had been hired to be Dianne Feinstein's communications director. I think he's probably still there.
But the Fresno paper is still going to have a local opinion.
Yeah.
Person.
But I'm not sure how much that represents the people in Fresno either, from what I've heard.
On the text line, Prager University videos on YouTube are educational. They don't use offensive words or slang either. They're perfectly fine for a 10-year-old, in my view.
Yeah. Again, why? The question is, what's the reason to hide it behind that age gate?
I can't defend it.
I can't, and they can't either. Other than say we can't, because we can.
Do they do the same to Rush Limbaugh or any of the other talk show hosts?
I don't think Rush Limbaugh puts this sort of stuff on there.
I mean, but is Prager the only one who's discriminated against?
No, there's lots of gun gun YouTube channels that have the same thing happen to them.
How does YouTube make money anyway?
Advertising.
Off those little tiny ads?
Well, the ones that pop up for that you can skip ad after 5 seconds. Yeah. That's a big part of how they make money. That's how Google makes its money, is those, you know, suggested ads when you search for something. You know, the first couple returns are ads. And people, you know, pay, well, I'll pay you, you know, 20 cents if when somebody looks for, you know, florists, if my flower shop is the top ad based on their geographic location and all that jazz.
All right. As we're going to give Matt a chance for a final thought, and he'll let him think about it, as I thank our guest, Tom Franciscovich, the editor of Slow Life magazine, and Sid Carr for talking about the most controversial song in America, which we don't dare name, otherwise we'll all be singing it. Special thanks to James Grant and to Matt Hoy. His website, again, is hoystory.com. Final thoughts, sir.
These tech companies need to recognize that just by the nature of who they're hiring and what their staffs are, that they lean heavily liberal. And if they do truly, as they proclaim, to love the First Amendment and be supporters of free speech, they need to make sure they apply it even to speech they don't like.
We have a text message asking, where is Art Bell? I believe the answer to that is he's dead.
Yeah, he died.
And he's been dead for a
couple years.
A year and a half, yeah. Year and a half to 2 years. I'm sorry to break that news to you. Matt is leaving, and Art Bell has gone to the aliens in the sky. All right, thanks to all my guests. Thanks to Craig Hill, as always, for his help. And thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton now. Oliver the Cat, get out of my chair. I'm coming home.